Hello, I'm Richard Blakely, and welcome to this centenary podcast from Brick Court Chambers. This podcast is one of a series we are producing in collaboration with two social mobility charities with whom we have partnered during our 100th year. Both the Sutton Trust and Inter University work with young people from disadvantaged backgrounds to support them in attaining places at university and beyond. We are working with these charities as part of our desire to assist in making a career at the bar something that is truly open to all, enabling and encouraging the most talented minds to achieve and to enter the profession regardless of background is to the benefit of everyone. In this series, we invite the charity students to sit down with us and give them a chance to ask questions about members of chambers, about the profession, and about the social mobility issues that matter to them. In this episode, you will hear Zahra Al-Rakabi of Brick Court Chambers in conversation with Yasmin Ali, a law and politics graduate from Queen Mary University, currently working as an advice worker at Salisbury World. Among other things, they will discuss Zahra's experience and top tips for navigating the first few years of practice. We hope you enjoy.
Hi Zahra, it's a pleasure to meet you finally in person at Brick Court.
Hi Yasmin, it's very lovely to meet you too, and welcome to Brick Court.
So Zahra, I've got some questions about the early years of your career. I wanted to know a bit more about the challenges you faced and how you overcame them. I'll just start off by asking one question about the shift from being a pupil to being a junior tenant and how you found that.
Well, it's a very good place to start. It's a big shift from being a pupil to being a junior tenant. Pupillage is a challenging year, but it's also a very insulated year because you are looked after by your pupil supervisors who ensure that your time is being managed well, that your workload is being managed well, and you're part of at least a two-person team all the time. You always have your pupil supervisor to bounce ideas off, to get feedback from. When you get taken on and become a tenant, you know, the buck stops with you in many cases. And on one hand, the world's your oyster. It's a very, very exciting time. On the other, it's an incredible amount of responsibility. Yeah, so exciting and challenging, I would say.
Going a bit deep into the challenges, what would you say were the biggest ones that you faced at the beginning, right at the beginning, maybe starting off even from your first day? And what lessons do you learn from that time that you still apply to your work?
What were the challenges I faced? I guess, you know, some of them are interpersonal challenges and some of them are sort of substance of the work challenges, if you like. One of the great things about being a barrister is that you have a great deal of responsibility from day one, as I was saying. You know, on the big cases where you're being led, the experience isn't all too different from pupillage. So, you know, you're doing first runs of things, you're much more responsible for them than you were during pupillage. You know, your name appears on pleadings and skeleton arguments and you get that sense of achievement. But you still have that team structure and that feedback structure. But when you start taking on your own cases where essentially you're the only person in the counsel team and solicitors of many more years of experience are turning around to you and saying, right, what should our strategy be? You know, there's both the interpersonal challenges of how do you navigate that relationship of being actually fairly junior but needing to sound authoritative. How do you navigate the confidence and the sense, you know, issues like imposter syndrome, for example, or feeling like you don't quite fit in, or those sorts of issues? And then how do you make sure that the legal opinions you're giving are right? It's a growth journey. I can't tell you exactly when I picked up each lesson, but I'm always growing, absolutely always learning. It's one of the wonderful things about this job that hardly any two cases that land on my desk are the same. Almost every time I read my instructions, I feel completely outside my comfort zone. There are times, obviously, maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but often when I get, even if it's an area of law where I have lots of experience in terms of procedure, the factual scenario I'm faced with is a completely new one. And so leaning into that discomfort of, well, I'm not sure how I'm going to get there in the end, but I trust that I've got the tools I need to get me there. And also, the thing you learn really early on in practice is having the confidence to ask for help and ask questions. And I still remember moments during pupillage where I might have doubted whether I ought to ask a particular question. And my gut instinct was saying to me, I don't think I've been given enough information to do this task, but I'm wavering on the confidence of whether to put my hand up and say, actually, you know, can we talk about this again? And every time I've bitten my tongue, I've regretted that later on. So, you know, you learn that lesson really early on and you carry it forward with you.
And that was all really interesting, especially what you were saying about like leaning into discomfort. And just coming back to what you were saying earlier about the challenges in the early years and feeling the sense of maybe imposter syndrome and worrying about asking questions sometimes. How important was mentoring, for example, and having people higher up helping you out at the beginning?
In terms of mentoring, formally speaking, if you like, I had a mentor during pupillage. So we have a system at Brick Court where you are paired up with someone who's just completed pupillage when you start pupillage. And I made use of that relationship frequently. I had a lot of support from my mentor in Chambers. But beyond that sort of formal setup, one of the great things I think about the English Bar actually has been for me that people's doors genuinely are open, both metaphorically and physically, you know. And I think mentoring is really important. I wouldn't limit it to sort of formal mentoring relationships. And of course, your pupil supervisors in many ways, yes, they're there to challenge you and test you, but they're there to teach you and mentor you as well. And so that you often find that beyond pupillage, your pupil supervisors are a great source of support that you keep going back to because they know you well and you've built that bond over the year.
I was really interested to learn that you came to the bar as a mother and wanted to hear a bit more from you about how you went into pupillage as a mother, how you navigated that.
I was looking at the issue of whether a working mother would thrive at the bar, not in a theoretical sense. You know, it was a very real question for me because I, at the time of applying, had a two-year-old. At the time of considering the bar, you know, I had an almost newborn baby and I did pupillage with a four-year-old daughter. And so questions about whether I would still be able to thrive, shape my practice the way I want to, but also be the kind of mother I want to be at home and how to navigate those things were at the forefront of my mind when I was researching the bar, but then also applying for pupillage. And the way I navigated that was to be very upfront about the fact that I already had a daughter and to turn it around and ask Chambers questions. You know, I asked at many pupillage interviews, I asked Chambers to tell me whether they think they were offering an environment in which I could thrive as a working mum. And one of the things that really stood out for me at Brick Court is that women were thriving at every level of call, women with children. Obviously, not everybody chooses to have a family, but women who did choose to have children at the bar were thriving at every level of call. Our current joint head of Chambers is a working mother, and there were lots of other examples throughout levels of seniority. And one other thing was that no woman had ever left Chambers after having a child. So I thought these were very, very promising stats. I then decided to, you know, keep things challenging by having another child very early on in practice. So, you know, I like to keep myself on my toes. And there really, the clerks really come into their own at that stage, I think. So early on, you know, it was about speaking to other members of Chambers, to getting an insight from other barristers. But as soon as you're a tenant, you know, the attitude of the clerking team makes a really big difference. And I think our clerks are very, very supportive, very helpful.
I think it was brilliant to hear how you were able to bring your whole self and how other barristers at this Chambers can really bring their whole selves and not have to compromise parts of their identity or interests when they're doing this kind of work. And I guess that's the beauty of being self-employed as well. So just linking back to that, I wanted to know a bit more about your background. I can see today, like, we're both visibly Muslim women, and I want to know how that and maybe other parts of your identity or background have played a role in your work.
You know, there's so much to unpack here. I mean, part of my story is that I came to the bar from what you could call a non-traditional background, you know, but kind of socioeconomically, in terms of, you know, being visibly Muslim, in terms of being a woman, you know, stats for women are massively improving over time, but there's still that factor there. At some point, I don't think I even knew what a barrister was. So I think when I first started law at university, I didn't really know about barristers, and it wasn't a career I had in mind for myself. So it was such a steep learning experience to not only learn about the bar, but also imagine myself in it and imagine my place in it and how I would fit in. And it was a very incremental process. There are wonderful people you meet, and you know, you're already miles ahead of where I am in terms of, you know, being here, having these conversations, thinking about these things. But for me, it was always a question of, well, I can only do this incrementally, and I can only ask myself, well, what's the next step for me? So every step of the way, I've sort of broadened my horizons a little bit. I've learned a little bit more about the bar, and I've overcome my own perceptions, I guess, about where I could fit in. In terms of choice of chambers, I mean, I came across Brick Court Chambers very incidentally, to be honest. I Googled it, and my initial reaction was, I can't really see myself fitting here, because you look at sort of the bigger picture and you can't quite envisage yourself fitting in. But I thought, I'm going to challenge that initial instinct and I'm going to apply and see how it goes. And by the time I had offers, I'd spent enough time at Brick Court to know that actually it's a very welcoming place. It's a very friendly place, and it's a place where I absolutely can build a practice for myself. I don't know what your experience has been so far in terms of breaking into new terrain that you didn't necessarily envisage yourself doing.
I think for me, it was about coming to chambers or going to the Inner Temple, for example, that really challenged my perception. And I really appreciated what you were saying about challenging perceptions. And so when I came to the Inner Temple at sixth form, I was able to meet barristers, and I didn't know any barristers in my own life, and I think a lot of the listeners could relate to that as well. And so it's only through talking to barristers and finding a bit more about how they came to do what they do, that's, I think that's the key thing. It's about having conversations, challenging your own perceptions, and understanding that barristers are often no different to you. And often there's a bit of pressure to jump into a job, you know, or secure a pupillage right away. And understanding that actually a lot of barristers haven't done that. They've come to the bar from lots of different backgrounds and have tried out different things. And there isn't that kind of linear path or that everyone takes. Instead, you can do things at your own pace. So I'm just exploring my different options now. And doing this podcast, for example, is a great way to learn a bit more about people like you and realise that we're not so different.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that, I think. You know, it's great to have a plan, but it's also important to have a flexible plan and to stay curious and to respond to changing environments, respond to your learning. You know, you're learning new things every day and you're seeing new things every day. I came to this country at the age of 9 from Syria and learned English as a second language and always struggled with that, finding that sense of belonging and finding that sense of space that I can occupy and call my own. Kind of putting together the autonomy and the willingness from so many different people to be helpful means that you can navigate your own way through it and create your own path through it. And that's where conversations like this are helpful, but they also come sort of with a health warning, I would say, because I think speaking to lots of barristers about their stories and their experiences has a lot of wisdom in it, and there's a lot to learn. But your own journey, Yasmeen, and all the other people listening will be entirely unique.
I think that's a really important message, because often we feel like we need to do certain things, take up certain hobbies, show certain interests to fit in at the bar. But no, you can bring lots of different parts of your experience and your background and still be welcomed here. Absolutely. And I guess it's just about finding a chambers that do appreciate your whole self and will welcome you rather than expect you to fit some sort of standard of being a barrister.
Absolutely. And I think one thing I'd add is that, you know, when I was first looking at the bar from the outside, I was thinking, here are, if you like, my disadvantages and how do I overcome them? You know, we talked about being the mum, for example, as one thing. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, I'm going to be competing during pupillage with all these people who have much more free time than I do, can work longer hours than I can. And what I've learned over the years is actually to reverse that, or to try to reverse that and think, well, what are the unique attributes that I can bring to this practice that other people might not be in a position to bring? So yes, English is my second language, but that means I speak Arabic, you know, in a global business market, that's an asset. You know, the cross-cultural understanding that I have when we're dealing with Middle Eastern clients, for example, that's an asset.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that requires a certain level of introspection as well. I think students will have to kind of sit down with themselves and really think, what do I have that is a strength rather than a hindrance to my future? I think that kind of stuff is really important to realise where to go next.
Once you've spoken to lots of barristers and understood what the job really entails, you then need to have a very, very honest conversation with yourself about, okay, where are my strengths and where are my weaknesses? What are the gaps I have to plug? Because if you didn't know, you know, from the age of 18 that you wanted to be a barrister, chances are you didn't do mooting at university, you're not a star debater, etc., etc. So you've got some gaps in terms of proving that you are a capable advocate. So I'm encouraging you to look at your story, look at your strengths, really package and sell those strengths, but to also get very honest with yourself about your weaknesses and then go off and plug those gaps and make sure you're in a very strong position to apply.
Yeah, I think that's really, really valuable advice. Well, it was incredible to hear you speak so candidly about the challenges that you've overcome and how to build resilience and also see weaknesses and how to address them. I think a lot of our listeners could really relate to that, and I think you've given a lot of advice that they may not hear from other sources. So I really, really appreciate speaking to you today about your career. And I've taken a lot away from it, and I hope the listeners have done so too.
Thank you very much, Yasmin. And, you know, you've credit to you for challenging yourself to come here and do this. So well done.
Thank you.
You can find out more about our partners for this podcast, the Sutton Trust, at their website, www.suttontrust.com, and about Inter University at www.intouniversity.org. There are more podcasts featuring current and past members of Brick Court Chambers, and more information about our centenary year and applying for pupillage on our website at brickcourt.co.uk. Thanks for listening.